Welcome to the Vintage Victoria podcast. I'm your host, Simon Duffin. I'm also the author and creator of the Vintage Victoria website, a blog where I visit historical places around the state of Victoria. I write about my experiences there, and then I look for stories that tell of past events in and around those places. There are 8 categories of building or structures I visit. That's cinemas, railways or trams, piers, botanic gardens, racecourses, lighthouses, swimming pools or baths, and arcades. In each edition of this podcast, I'll be chatting with someone who can connect back to the past of these places I visit, either via their own memories and experiences or via the stories of family members, or sometimes with people who have a current connection but share my fascination for those buildings we visit. If you think you'd like to be interviewed and you have a story to tell on one of the venues I've already reviewed, do get in touch by email simon@vintagevictoria.net.au. Enjoy the episode. So I'm really pleased to be today with Helen Kieran, who was once upon a time Helen Jones, and whose family lived at the Middle Brighton Sea Baths, which I've been down to review for Vintage Victoria. Now, I'm here because of a photo which appeared just after the war, Second World War, a photo of a toddler called Helen Jones, who was wearing boxing gloves and having a sparring match with her dad, who was a manager of these baths. And I mentioned this in my blog. And next thing I knew, Helen Kieran, as she's now her daughter, got in touch with me to say, my mum wouldn't mind talking to you. So that's why I'm here today. Now, you were so young then, you wouldn't remember the incident or the boxing gloves. No. But did everyone talk about this as a famous moment?
No, not at all, because there were lots of things like that.
Okay.
And I think it might have been at one of the winter breakfasts, which was something held around about the 30th of June or for the winter swimmers, then called Icebergs. It was a great occasion. One Sunday morning, all the swimmers, who regularly swam right through, they would their wives would cook, and my mother would make beef tea.
Okay.
But I suspect it could have been then.
You've actually got original press cuttings in there. Fantastic. So this was a very young you. I mean, I don't know whether you could even swim at the time, but...
Yes, I could.
Oh, so when did you learn to swim?
Well, early enough for me to ride my trike into the deep water.
You rode a tricycle into the deep water?
Wearing winter boots, little Shirley boots.
Yeah.
And a pleated tartan skirt and a twin set. I rode my trike in and I dog paddled out. And according to the newspaper that wrote it up 13 or so years later, they said I was 3.5. Okay. And they said I dog paddled 50 yards to shore.
Oh, and was that true or was that an exaggeration?
That's a big exaggeration.
Okay.
I dog paddled about from here to the wall.
Oh,
to the
two
steps.
Or 3 metres then, yes. Okay. Now, still, for a little toddler, that's a fair distance.
3.5, according to the thing. And I ran down screaming to my mother, not because I'd fallen in and I was all wet, because my trike had gone.
Oh, no.
And I wouldn't shut up until my father got into his bathers and went and fetched it.
Excellent.
Brought it up.
Excellent. So were you born born in the building of the bath, not born in the bath themselves?
No, I was born at Padua House, which I believe is in North Brighton.
But your family was living in the accommodation at the bath themselves. And what was life like then as a child being brought up in a building which basically is right on the coast by the baths?
Yeah, good.
How was it?
Excellent. Most of the time. I didn't realise that it was so small until one day I took my youngest son back. He looked around and said, how did you fit?
What, in the building, you mean?
In the building.
Really?
Well, there was a sort of a flat upstairs.
Yeah.
That was my bedroom.
Oh, okay.
There, that one.
Yeah, I can recognise that from the current building, yeah.
I've been taken to lunch there. 5, 4, four times.
Okay.
By people who think it would be wonderful. So I didn't tell them that so-and-so had already taken me there for lunch.
But you were living there, so I think your parents began managing the bar before you were born, didn't they?
6 years before.
6 years before, okay. And then, so what age were you when you moved out, or when they stopped?
I moved out when I got married.
Oh, so in fact that was a good long period.
Well, I did live away in the country, teaching.
Okay. And so, I mean, it's hard to imagine that building that is still there today being accommodation for a family. I mean, how was living in there?
Well, the rooms were large. If I can remember, they were roughly, possibly 14 feet square. But anyway, that was mine.
Okay.
That was theirs, bedroom.
Oh, right, yeah.
It was basically four. There was a lounge in front of Mum's.
So yours was first floor to the left of the clock as you're looking at it on the road. There's a clock there at the front.
No, it's not.
Is that not a clock?
I'll tell you what it is. I have...
Oh, it's not a clock. It's a shield. You're right.
Shows what I know. I'm right. I've done it. But unfortunately, it got broken.
Oh, no.
I wanted to put it on the front door.
Yeah. Oh, shame.
There. And I got it finished. And it's... Where did I see it? It's on one of these. Oh, there. That's what it is.
Okay. Oh, lovely.
Mermaid on Dolphin.
Fantastic.
And yeah, so I was going to do it on that, and my parents had left the Baths by then, and Mum took it with her to... they moved to a house in Brighton. And anyway, she put it on the floor of the shed.
Yeah.
And when the moving men were moving, that somebody trod on it.
Oh,
of course,
no.
Unfired clay.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the end, and I was going to do another one, and I didn't know. I thought, I did a drawing first, and I can't find that. But
any memories of living there in terms of how special it was to be living in that building that was part of the Baths?
I found out many years later, because I go to reunions now. Mm-hmm. All my classmates apparently wanted to get invites to come home and swim after school.
I bet they did. I was going to ask you about that. Excellent, yes.
Yeah, and
did you ever invite them round?
Oh, yeah, well, the one who died, I invited her round.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think anyone else would want to. There was a girl, this was at primary school, whose father was a furrier in Brighton. And... she sometimes brought along bags of offcuts, and everyone would be desperate to have a piece of fur.
Fantastic.
And I said to her, you know, we all wanted your fur. We didn't want to be friends with you. We just wanted the fur. And she said, we all wanted to come to your place. And you didn't invite us. And I said, didn't think anyone would be interested.
Yeah, there you go. That's amazing.
And
that was one of my questions. Like, were you conscious of being so lucky and the envy of school friends?
Not really. Not school friends. I just liked, particularly the winter when the Baths were closed.
Yeah. They were closed in winter.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We were closed all winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used to do things. I had a boyfriend when I was in primary school, and he and I... built many rafts.
Okay.
We were always trying to build a raft that would not get us wet in the winter.
Okay, nice.
But would paddle.
Yeah.
Because some of them you'd get soaking wet and you'd move along at pace, but you'd get wet legs.
Yeah.
And others, they were too heavy to paddle, and the waves would keep washing you over to the side. And we built lots of bonfires too, and tried to toast
on the beach.
Okay. To try to toast bread.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Because that's what they did in the annuals, the girls' own friendly annuals.
So you talk about waves, because we swam there actually Boxing Day. It was quite a breezy day.
Yeah.
It was sunny and warm in summer. So it was nice to swim, but there were quite a few. The waves that were coming through the gaps in the fence around the pool. You know, how was it to be in your bedroom in the building there on a stormy night in winter? Because that building, I mean, that whole, the Baths were demolished several times over the time since they were built.
Yeah, so I was reading there.
Was it scary to be on a stormy night in there, or exciting?
No, Well, we were on the bedrooms were on the east.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess we were a bit protected. Yeah. I don't remember ever being affected because we always wanted waves.
Yeah.
Because we were miles from surf beaches and we didn't young to have a car.
Okay.
And I always wanted to surf.
Yeah.
In the winter. We'd swim in the winter.
Yeah.
All the way through.
Wow, yeah.
No wetsuits.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice. But if it got rather rough, which would be normally when the wind was from the west.
Okay.
Then we'd all rush and get into our bathers and see if we could find a board of some sort and pretend to surf.
Nice. When we talked on the phone the first time, I said that your father seemed to be in the news quite a bit, and you said actually he didn't really look for media attention.
No.
So how come? You know, if you look through the Trove National Library Archive and you type in Helen Jones or Tim Jones, your dad, and Brighton Bath, there's quite a lot of articles.
Well,
so did the media come to you or did...
Well, we had some bodies and washed in.
Did you? people drowned?
Not in the bath. Nobody drowned in the baths.
Okay. Yeah.
Except there was across the road, the shopping centre, strip, was either an Italian or Greek family moved in. They had older boys, perhaps 20s, and one of them was showing off on one bright.
Yeah.
He stood on the rail where you were not to stand on.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And he tried to dive over the jetty.
Okay.
And he hit the jetty and he broke his neck.
Oh, wow.
And they got him out on one of the life buoys, which were around the pool.
Yeah.
And he was apparently a difficult patient in hospital and he died.
Oh, my word.
About a week
wow.
later.
Gosh.
But nobody ever drowned.
No,
my parents were very proud of that.
Yes, I bet. Because how long were they there for altogether?
Well, I calculate that they must have gone there in about 36.
Wow, really?
Because they...
That's when he reopened, I think, after the damage.
Yes, well, they were not married. They were boyfriend... they met at the city bars.
Oh, did they? How nice.
They got married because, of course, you couldn't have an unmarried couple.
Right.
Not that they were, you know, they lived at home, both of them.
Yeah.
They got married in a big hurry. Apparently somebody phoned up and said, how quickly can you get married?
Really?
Here's a job for you. Because apparently father had done a good job at the city baths.
Oh, he worked there?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
They both worked there.
Oh, interesting.
He persuaded her to do her diploma.
Okay.
And she therefore has things from the Queen or the Governor or something.
Really?
Because she had a double diploma, freshwater as well.
Yes, in fact, again, in the phone conversation we had before I came down, I mentioned your father being the manager of the baths, and actually... You suggested that your mother actually did as much, if not more, work than your dad did.
Exactly.
So how did that all play out?
She wasn't paid. He was the one who got
really?
The pay.
Right.
Until many, many years later, one of the councillors who used to come to... Most of them used to come to the baths at various stages.
Yeah.
And he said something about her pay. And she said, I don't get paid.
God.
And he said, what?
Yeah, exactly.
And, and he apparently brought it up and she got, I think it was just a bonus it was called.
Right.
But it wasn't a regular, because I can remember my father's envelopes with money in them.
Yeah.
And she didn't get anything like
That's
that.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Mm. Apart from running the office, basically, mm-hmm. which was mostly her job, but she used to employ kids for the basket rooms, including me. I got paid.
Okay, you got paid.
Two and six an hour or something like that.
Okay.
And also kids for the kiosk, because we sold lollies.
Yeah, of course.
And ice creams and I could mix a mean sarsaparilla.
Could you? Excellent.
and you had to wash the floors and wipe all the counters and do all that sort of stuff. And then we originally hired out bathers.
Okay.
Not togs up there. Oh, yeah, sometimes togs. but not cozies.
No, okay.
And so she had to wash them
in
this vile stuff called phenyl to disinfect everything.
Yeah,
and they had these ghastly woolen,
woolen
bathers.
Okay, yes. And what era was that photograph you're pointing at from?
32, I think it's called.
Okay, so a nice one-piece ladies' swimsuit with a kind of, skirt to it.
Yeah, that's 32.
Okay.
And I wasn't born till 42. I'm a freshwater diploma, 31. Water work result essay. They had to write an essay.
Okay, good.
And it had to go to London.
To London?
Yeah. I've received a beam wireless message from London, dated 23rd instant, as follows. McCants passed.
But what did London have to approve for you to get a...
because they were, I suppose, patron, his most gracious majesty the king.
Oh, it was the patron?
Yes, Royal Life Saving Society.
She
was Miss McCants then.
Going back to your own childhood then, in the baths... So by the time you were 10, probably before this, the press cutting I found talked about 10-year-old Helen Jones giving swimming lessons in the basic strokes of dog paddle and crawl. Do you have memories of that?
All the people that Mum had taught, they brought their children to me.
Yeah, okay.
And I had Robert Menzies' granddaughter.
Hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Not only for one thing, she was, she's a lovely little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And with amazing Elizabeth Taylor mauve eyes.
Oh, wow, okay. Oh,
beautiful blue eyes, but she was very skinny and she felt the cold.
Okay.
And I got her swimming.
Yeah, great.
Because we, in those days, taught dog paddle.
Yes.
And it should still be done.
Yeah, no one
these
talks
kids,
about it anymore, do they?
These kids don't know how to do it.
No.
And if a little E falls in...
Yeah.
They can't swim.
No, sure.
Because it takes quite a while to coordinate the breathing.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely right. No, in fact, when I was in the water the first time for a while on Boxing Day, I couldn't get the breathing right. And it makes you a bit panicky.
Yes.
Even someone as experienced as me.
Yeah.
So a small child would be really in trouble. It's true, I can
see
that.
That's right. That's why, and I think, well, Mum was desperate. She had all her older pupils.
Yeah.
And she would take me along with them out to the deep end and say, come on, jump in. I remember one day I was too scared to jump
end.
In.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite deep in Brighton Bath.
Yes.
3 or 4 metres.
I think
metres,
it's
maybe?
All silted up now, isn't
it's
it?
3 or 4 metres still, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It used to glug up. But never, you know, it was always well over people's heads.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things, and especially if you're a little kid. My mother would look when someone would come along to have lessons. If Mum was in the office, she'd do the booking.
Yeah.
And if it was a plump little girl of about 5, yes, my daughter has vacancies. Skinny, shivering little boy of 6. She'd say, oh, no, she's booked up.
but that's really funny, Helen, because when I lived in Australia when I was 7. And I was that skinny little boy.
Mm.
And they tried to get me to learn to swim. I couldn't do it. But I learned much more easily later on in life.
Yeah.
But when I was a skinny 7-year-old, I couldn't do it. And you wouldn't have taught me because your mum wouldn't have let you.
But
why is it? Is it because of floating more easily?
Well, look, women, females have more fat.
Okay.
That's a start. And that helps you float.
Yeah, sure.
And I guess that's the main thing.
Okay.
Probably.
Yes.
You know, and if a little kid's cold and shivering, they're not going to learn very much.
No, exactly. That's why my memory in Sydney, a 7-year-old, I hated it. It was just cold and it was a river and it was green and murky and horrible. No.
Well, I was always going to ring up and cancel because, it's too rough.
Yes.
Because I would rather stay in bed.
You would. So teenage Helen would have rather stayed in bed.
Yes, well.
That's good to know.
I was just trying to think who else I had who was famous.
Oh, yeah.
Jock Sturrig? Yachtsman?
No, who was he then?
He was
a
yachtsman.
Okay.
About, I got his daughter, I think it was.
Okay.
And then the Kel Nagel, golfer.
Oh, yes, okay.
Got his daughters.
Great.
Garrison, that was his name.
Okay.
He was arrested for fraud, and he was very slow to pay his bill.
Oh no, really? Okay.
He had twins.
Yeah.
And thinking of Senator Jeanette Patrick, daughter when she was unmarried.
Oh, okay.
And then she brought her.
Great. No, nice.
Kids to me.
Nice.
For a while.
Now, the cutting I did find, which you spotted in my hands a minute ago, was the big headline I found yesterday evening as I looked through. Helen 13 has a day of triumph. Do you remember that day? And here's a picture of you at 13, apparently.
I know. Isn't it awful?
Wait,
I always had black feathers, black and white, which mother thought was too old for me. But started, and I said, no, because Speedos only came in black or navy.
Okay, really?
And Mum wanted me to have navy.
Okay.
And I said, no, I like black, and I like black and white, which is why I barracked for Collingwood.
Oh, I see, of course.
So in the end, she gave up, and she felt happy as long as I had a bit of white on the back.
Okay, in fact, it resembles a little bit the photograph you showed me of her in 1932, in terms of the
swimming
costume.
I'm trying to think. I came and took some photos once for Vegemite ads.
Oh, did they?
Yes, my father. That was what we did in the winter.
Okay,
and that
yes.
was basically what I was wearing when I fell in.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes.
Only...
Is that your tricycle then? Is that the famous tricycle?
Yes, that was the famous tricycle.
Fantastic.
I had lots of things like that. I had, in the winter, I had a canoe.
Okay.
Parents bought me a canoe so I could ride around, but... It was too big and heavy. I couldn't get against the waves. I couldn't.
Oh, yeah, So do you remember this triumphant day?
No, I'm just trying.
13 years
old.
The first 13-year-old to get the Australian Life Saving Award.
She awoke at 6:30. Don't be stupid.
Why is that stupid?
I don't get up early. Even then, I didn't get up early.
According to this article, they lowered the age from 16 to 13, and you were the first person to do it at 13?
That's what it says, does it?
Yeah.
Of course, swimming comes easily to Helen. Her swim, she was 2.5.
There you go. That's the story you told me earlier. Yeah.
Well, I got teased because when I was in year 7 or 8, they put in, I think the usual thing was they were publicising the Herald Learn to Swim campaign.
Yes, I saw that, yeah.
Which says that I taught. The most I did in that was, sometimes I did take, I was given 5 kids, go over there and practice something, but mostly I just demonstrated.
In those early years after the war, swimming was a massive, massive thing. And I saw articles talking about 8,000 people going through the turnstiles in one day at the Middle Brighton Bath, sometimes on a hot day in 51.
Wouldn't have a clue, but could be.
Do you not remember crowds coming in?
Oh, there? Yes, I remember sitting on my bed and looking out the window and the queue that we used to bet on how far the queue would go.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Because the lawns were sort of on each side and then there was a central path, bitumen path.
Yeah.
And we used to bet as to whether they would get up to the main road, which is St Kilda Street.
Yeah, and how busy would that make it in the water? You know, would it be crowded in the water? You wouldn't be able to do laps and things.
Oh yes, you would, because the people who came in, I could never understand it. They'd come in and sit on the sand and have picnics.
Oh, I see. Okay,
And I don't know, because we never went in the shallows.
No, okay, yeah.
We were too busy conning boys out at the end.
Okay, yeah.
And my father would wander around on patrol and say, oh, she's buoying.
Oh, really? That was you, was it?
That was me.
So you mentioned earlier on that some of the boys, I think, were showing off. Sometimes, was there much sort of larrikin type behaviour going on in the bath?
In my earlier life, the boys were all late teens, early 20s. But as cars became more common, they'd go to the surf beaches.
Oh, I see. Okay,
it was a bit boring in the
that
was left then to the people whose parents were happy that my father was such a dragon.
Yeah, okay.
And they could relax that their children... Oh, that's one thing I was going to tell you. He had very long sight.
Your father did? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he could spot someone who walked out on the pier and swam across and sneaked in.
Oh, I see,
He could spot them a mile away.
Oh, from the pier? I mean, but how did they get through the shark fence? I mean,
well, it was, you could squeeze.
Oh, you could.
Oh, yeah, because it was about okay. that far.
Yeah, yeah.
And also not that high.
Okay, I
they
see.
They didn't go right up to the
Oh, so he'd
the
spot decking. Them trying to smuggle
And he
something.
Would spot evildoers.
Okay, yeah.
And he would start charging yeah. up. He used to be a boxer.
Okay, so hence the boxing gloves when you were 2.5. Right.
So that he was quite fearsome. And he'd start herbing up to get the evil doer, whatever it
yeah.
was. A trail would form behind him of little kids.
Okay.
It's going to be some fun. And they'd all roar along behind
Fantastic.
Him. And he would catch them and drag them off. And he did have many friends in the police force.
Did he? Okay.
Who always were congregating in the storeroom
oh.
for the lolly shop.
And did he get the impression that people came from afar? Were they locals? People?
It was a social destination. They had lots of yeah. events
yeah,
in
okay.
the Bard's Lawns. They had boxing once.
Oh, really?
I don't know who, you know, what the occasion was, because
yeah.
I stuck my nose in the air and would have nothing to do with boxing. So.
Yeah.
But another time I remember all these people who were on Channel 7 television, and they had some sort of concerts
yeah.
just under my window.
Oh, wow.
So I couldn't go to bed till late.
Oh, really? Yes, okay.
And, yeah, no, I don't know where most came from. I think if there was a bus line...
Yeah, okay.
...someone
Easy
might
to come
have
then.
Come. And I know also, you know, as I said, parents thought Timmy would look after their children...
Yeah, your father, you mean?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
yes. Okay, yes. I've swum a lot on the East Coast, on New South Wales coast. Sort of tradition in many of them that the early morning, you'll see a lot of older folk who have a really early morning swim. And they do it all year round.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Was there a similar crowd at Brighton Baths?
Oh, well, there was, because the iceberg swam all through and
yeah.
Timmy let them in, I suppose.
Yeah, okay.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
But he let all those... And we also had a group of just men, actually, and me. We used to play volleyball.
Oh, really?
All through the winter at the
yeah.
weekend. They,
okay.
We had regulars
yeah.
who would come down and he'd let them in.
Great.
And I think most of them probably lived around.
Yeah. yeah.
But I guess if they were the iceberg people who swam all year,
yeah.
they probably might come from... further afield.
But there was another bath, wasn't there, for a while?
Brighton Beach.
Because actually, when we went, we got off at the wrong station.
Uh-huh.
And we thought, well, where's the bath? I mean, in fact, but then we realised
there
used to be baths, but it's not
yeah.
there anymore, no.
No, so, my father always said it was, they built them in the wrong place for the tides.
Okay.
He had all these complex theories about tides and groins and
okay.
various breakwaters and things. And he said, oh, they put it there, the sand will... And I think he was probably right, because the Brighton Beach baths kept on being swept away.
Yeah, okay. But was there a kind of rivalry between the two, or was it just
not really,
somewhere
because,
else to go?
Well, the only people who went to that bath went there, I think, because it was the end of the train line.
Yeah.
And
oh, exactly. That's why I got off there, yeah.
And the others, once they went there, it was sort of shallow, and then it was rough. And
yeah, okay.
So a lot of people didn't go there. They came to us, even though we didn't have major public transport.
Yeah. And you've showed me photographs, in fact, back to 1932, of your mother in her swimming costume.
I know everything about swimming costumes.
From my reading of New South Wales, there used to be beach inspectors with tape measures to measure how long your... Your costume was, or and when
yeah.
the men had the appropriate trunks on. You know, was your father and mother involved with all that sort of thing then?
No.
Did they have to police that as well?
No, because, well, the council provided the bathers.
Okay.
And I leaned on my mother and said, this is out of date, this is ridiculous.
Okay.
And so then she went, got some more modern, and also the records, because we used to play music and I liked musicals.
Okay.
So My Fair Lady might come basting out. And Father had two songs, because normally we shut at 6.
Yeah.
But on hot days... he stayed open till 9.
Okay.
Very late.
Yeah.
And then it was time to close. And, of course, a lot of people didn't want to get out. And so first he put on When You Come to the End of a Perfect Day, Bing Crosby.
Okay, yeah.
Da, 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 da. And the other one was the Maori Farewell.
Okay, nice.
Now is the hour.
Very good. Words. What a good idea.
You put one on after the other and then you get on the microphone because
he
made great use of the microphone.
Did he? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. He used to say, people throwing sand, something and seaweed will be ejected from the bars in this doom voice.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And but anyway, yes, he used to play music, and when I got older, I chose them.
Okay. And did you play them on a sort of old-fashioned record player with, you
yes,
know, with
I could
vinyl?
Do that.
Yeah, great.
Yes. I've got some of them in there still.
Have you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like Flower Drum Song. And
fantastic.
I can't remember what all, but I grabbed them.
Yeah.
When my parents were leaving, I said, I'll have those because I chose them.
Yeah, great, good for you. So what year did they actually leave then? You'd already left home then, had you, when they did retire?
Yes, I remember. I know I went round helping them check they'd got everything.
Really? And were they the last people to actually live there? Or did others,
had other people there.
Did they?
Mm. And one thing I'd like to know, the council built me a garage.
Oh, yeah?
Between outside, look, facing away from the ocean to the right, there were two public toilets.
Yeah.
Right on the beachfront. And they dug out the bank between the two.
Yeah.
And built me a garage when I got a car.
Oh.
Left not soon long
oh,
after.
Oh, I see, really.
And I'd love to know what happened.
Yes. Did you get lots of admirers from being in the papers?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I tried not to tell anybody who I was if it was
really?
At the bars.
Oh, here we are. Due to retire soon.
Ah.
Tim and Olive Jones, due to retire soon. And that was June the 5th, 68.
Uh-huh.
So, in fact, that was about a month after I had left Australia. So I could have even come down for a lesson
a
with
swim.
You.
Swim.
Well, I couldn't swim
I
in those days.
I wouldn't take you.
I was a skinny seven-year-old, so it wouldn't be no good for me. Well, and apparently your dad recalls Viscount Bruce, Australian Prime Minister, 23-29, came for a swim.
Well, there you are.
There you go, the former Prime Ministers.
No, didn't know that. Somewhere there's a nice picture of my father in white singlet.
Oh, yeah, that's probably it there. Look, is that
that's
him?
It, yes.
Looking like a very good fit boxer.
That's the Olympic pool.
I wouldn't mess with him, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, Mr. Jones is very proud there have been no drownings in the bath during his time there.
There you go.
Okay. That's a really nice article, the one from 68.
Yeah.
Really like that one. Now, just before we finish, did you ever meet Frank Beaurepaire?
No, but my parents knew him.
Okay.
Because they used to talk about him and I used to see the tyre signs.
Of course, no, exactly.
And
I think his family moved over to Lorne, actually, later in life. But what was interesting from my blog in terms of writing about the history of the baths, after one of the big storms that destroyed basically much of the baths before your parents got there...
Yeah.
There was a big campaign not to rebuild, but to build a sort of St Kilda style on the beach, but not on the sea baths.
Ah, right.
And
yeah.
Frank Beaurepaire was against rebuilding the ocean baths because he said, waste of money, they're a bit of an eyesore. We should start building saltwater baths on the beach.
Ah.
Better for training, better for fitness. So you weren't aware of that sort of him and his campaign? Because he became mayor, didn't he? So mayor of Melbourne, didn't he? I think Frank Beaurepaire. Yeah, so he was a politician by the end of his life. Yeah. How come Brighton Bath survives to this day, along with Geelong, Eastern Beach? There seems to be no other sea baths left in Victoria now.
It's not. I never really thought about it. Because when I went into the, been there four times for lunch.
Yeah.
And I got there early each time and said, can I have a walk around while I'm waiting?
Okay.
And I went and bounced on the diving board, which
Did
is
you?
What I... Oh.
It's not there anymore, unfortunately, the diving board, no.
No.
There's a sign up saying about the diving board, but the diving board itself is not there anymore.
No, well, I used to...
Go to bounce on the diving board.
I'd come home from school and Mum would go mad because I'd go for a walk around the pool. I went for lots of walks. and I'd always bounce on the board.
Great.
The low diving board, not the 3 metre.
Yeah.
And she'd scream at me because there was I in my school uniform. And if I'd fallen in.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would I wear to school the next day?
That's right.
Into terrible trouble. No, I was just going to tell you, Mum was friendly with Margaret Rutherford.
Oh, okay.
Even though Mum was violently anti-Catholic, when the nuns brought the kids swimming, she would let them use our lounge room or bedroom to get changed. And she did the same with Margaret Rutherford, who was here with her husband, Stringer Davis, to star in some play in Melbourne.
Yes.
And they exchanged cards for a long time.
Fantastic.
Until I imagine Margaret Rutherford got too old.
Yeah, probably. So you've been back for lunch and dinner and things, but have you swum? Have you swum in the in
no,
the bath? Not since you
not
left.
Not at all. I didn't know what was there, and when I walked in, you know, there was I don't know where you'd get changed now. I suppose
they're kind of modern changing rooms now. They've got a gym and they sort of it's all
yeah.
That,
I think
that.
The first time I went, I think they were building the gym.
Okay.
I didn't tell them who I was.
Okay.
And I just walked around. Looked for the board to bounce on.
Okay.
Which I thought was there, maybe.
It's quite recently taken down, I think.
Oh, no, I haven't been there recently.
So you're a bit like Sam Neill in The Dish. Have you seen The Dish?
I have seen it, but I can't remember.
He's the old scientist that was there to lead the campaign to see the moon landing.
Yeah.
But the Dish begins and ends with him visiting Parkes as an older man. You're a little bit like that, sort of going back to where you were early in your youth. You still swim?
Yes, but I have got very lazy because I like it warm these days.
No, fair enough.
But I have got a wetsuit.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you go off at the beach here at Ocean Grove?
Mm.
Yeah, great.
That's a very safe beach.
Is it? Okay.
Not tricky, you know.
You swim in the ocean here and you're not worried about sharks taking a bite?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
That's why I swim up at the other pool.
Yeah.
But that's only the last couple of years.
So do you look back on your time at the Brighton Bath with fond memories? Does it excite you, make you nostalgic?
Nostalgic, I suppose.
And the final thing then, what's the best memory of all that you have of Brighton Sea Bath?
I don't know, swimming at night.
Oh, nice.
When, you know, about after the lights went off.
Fantastic. Starlit swim.
Yes, perhaps. All the people who worked when the baths closed at 9 o'clock on a hot night.
Yeah, lovely.
We would go swimming.
Fantastic.
And the sea lice would eat you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Or you'd feel them. You'd go,
you'd pull
your arm and
there'd
be little things.
Oh, wow.
However, we never bothered about that.
Okay.
Good fun having the baths to yourself in the dark.
Absolutely fantastic. That's the real privilege, I think, of having lived there. So.
And my friend Robin, she and I went swimming one night and we decided to take our bathers off. No boys around.
Okay.
So we put them up on the deck. And all of a sudden, there were some boys on the pier. And they started yelling.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure they couldn't have seen anything.
Yeah.
Not possible. And yet, every time we moved from one lot of steps to the others, they'd start up again. Wee! Woo! We were convinced. Anyway, my friend's father came to pick her up. And he was talking to my father. And my father got on the microphone and said, "Get out, Mr. Lambert's here." And we couldn't because then we moved those boys.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And finally, I don't know, I think I made a run for it and grabbed my bathers. And then I got hers and threw them to her. And so
nice one.
It was good fun.
Yes.
Doing silly things.
Well, thanks so much, Helen. That's been a really lovely interview. Ooh. A great experience to have had. For the first years of your life. But it's been really great to talk to you and so interesting to hear your stories. But man, thanks to your daughter for getting in touch with me, even though she's in London. So that's fantastic that she read the article and got in touch on the back of that. This podcast was produced by myself, Simon Duffin, author of the Vintage Victoria website. The music is Gold Rush by Kevin MacLeod, and there are links to the music in the programme notes. Till next time, thanks for listening.